Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read from Luke chapter 23. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We continue with the collect for Ash Wednesday. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and you forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may obtain of you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. So back on October 30th, 1938, with the threat of war hanging over Europe, the prime ministers of Great Britain, Italy, and France signed the Munich Agreement with the dictator of Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler. This agreement said that Nazi Germany could take over part of Czechoslovakia, and in turn, Hitler would not attack and take over all of Czechoslovakia and start another world war. The Prime Minister of Great Britain returned home, telling his fellow British citizens that this compromise with Hitler meant peace for our time. Winston Churchill, who would 2 years later become prime minister, saw this compromise with Hitler as a disaster. He said to the prime minister, "You were given the choice between war and dishonor. You chose dishonor, and you will have war." And he was right. 5 months later, Hitler invaded and conquered all of Czechoslovakia. A few months after that, he invaded and conquered Poland. World War II had begun, a war like no other, killing millions, and in large part because of the Munich Agreement. They thought they could make a deal with Hitler. They thought they could give him part of what he wanted to prevent all-out war. They thought they could compromise with an evil madman, and he would be satisfied. They thought they could give him a part so there would be peace throughout Europe. They thought they could give him a part for the whole. And sometimes a part for the whole is perfectly reasonable and even necessary, like when you go out to lunch with a friend and he says, "I'll put it on my credit card," and you take out your billfold and you see you only have a 5 and a 10 and your total bill is $17. And you say, "Hey, I only have $15. He says, "That's fine, that's good. Call it even." Or it can be like when a business is really struggling and the creditor is supposed to collect what the business company owes. But the creditor knows that if they require every last penny, the company may declare bankruptcy and the creditor will get nothing. So they make a deal. Give us 80% and we'll call it good. Instead of all or nothing, they realize it's something or nothing. Take what you can get, a part for the whole. So this is kind of like the situation Pilate found himself in. The Jews brought Jesus to Pilate on what were obviously false charges. Pilate's job was to declare him innocent and set him free, but the Jews wanted him dead. They were determined to have him crucified. They wanted it all. Pilate saw how determined they were, so he offered them a compromise, a deal, a part instead of a whole. How about this? I will punish him and then release him. I will have him severely flogged. That should satisfy you. Seems like the Jews maybe should have taken that offer so they could walk away saying, well, while Jesus is not dead, at least maybe he learned a lesson. But the Jews rejected that offer. They would accept no compromise, and they would accept it for a couple of reasons. Not accept it for a couple of reasons. One is that they believed that they were holding the highest trump card. They knew that anyone who claimed to be a king within the Roman Empire without the authority or the permission of Caesar, that person was to be automatically put to death. Jesus had just told Pilate, I am a king. So the Jews threw this in Pilate's face. John 19, Pilate tried to release Jesus, but the Jews shouted, if you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar. So Pilate was not willing to put his job and maybe even his own life in jeopardy. So he gave up on the compromise, on the part, and the Jews got the whole of what they wanted. The other reason a compromise, a part, was not acceptable is because evil is never satisfied with partial evil. Whether it be Satan or the old Adam, the sinful flesh, a part of evil is not enough. This is especially true when it comes to dealing with the Son, whom the Father sent. We see this in one of the parables told by Jesus, where tenant farmers are not satisfied until they kill the son of the vineyard owner. Evil will not tolerate the true and living Son of God. He must be removed. He must be done away with. The irony is that the Jews thought they were doing something God-pleasing and righteous and noble, when in fact they were doing just the opposite. But this just goes to show us how deceiving both the flesh and Satan can be. Like Hitler, the flesh and Satan are willing to make a deal, a compromise, for it doesn't look that bad, may even look good. But in the end, the devil and the sin within us will not be satisfied with anything other than pure evil. Complete love of sin, whole unbelief, and total rejection of Christ. This is why it is never safe to tolerate or justify just a little false teaching from Satan. This is why it is never safe to justify even a little sin. We cannot win. We will be devoured. It's like the alcoholic who thinks he can take just one drink, or the person who says it's okay to look at a little pornography, or the person who justifies gambling once or twice or three times, or the person who thinks it's okay to be lazy once in a while on Sunday morning, or the person who thinks it's all right to gossip about just a particular person or a group, or he thinks he is allowed to hate a certain person or group, or the person who thinks it's smart to compromise between biblical creation and evolution. The point is not that we may end up immersed in any of these sins, though God forbid we could. The point is not that we don't sin or struggle with sin, for we do and we will, which calls for repentance. But the point is that the sinfulness within and the ever-prowling devil without are never satisfied with just a part. Sin and the devil want our devotion and love. And that means Christ must go. All of him. And if sin and Satan can use the partial, can use a compromise to get there, they will. When we see sin within us, even if it's just a little, when we see false teachings around us, even if it's just a little, and think it is okay, it is no big deal, we underestimate the power and the intention of someone like Hitler. We underestimate the power and intention of the flesh and Satan. In one sense, God is similar to the flesh and Satan. God is not satisfied with the partial. To put it in perspective, imagine a husband telling his wife, "I will be devoted and faithful to you partially. In fact, I will be loyal to you most of the time, maybe even 360 out of 365 days of the year." If we say, "I will love God here, I will trust him there, but not always, not in all situations, not with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I will love God partially." He says, "Not good enough. I want it all. I want complete loyalty and devotion." And if we do not comply, we are guilty. And we earn condemnation. It's all or nothing with God. Jesus was not making a suggestion when he said, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." The problem, of course, is that we cannot do this in whole. We cannot come close. Our partial obedience is very partial, even on our best days. So, on the one side, we have Satan and the flesh, and on the other side, we have the Almighty God. And both of them want the whole, not partial. And in between is Jesus, the Son of Man and the Son of God. He is the heart and center of Holy Scriptures. What did he do? Did Jesus say, "I am willing to obey the commandments of God, but only in part. Today I will keep these several commandments, but I won't put my total effort into the others." Or, "I will keep all the commandments, but only in part. I will love God, but not with my whole heart and soul, mind, and strength." Is that what Jesus said and did? No. His righteousness was not partial, but perfect. What about the cross? When he hung there, were just some sins imputed to him, bound to him? Did he bear just some of them? Or maybe the sins of just a selected group or kind of people were placed on him? No, it was all sins of all people. Little ones and big ones. And neither when he was on the cross did he decide to cut his time short. He did not say, "I have suffered long enough. I will come down now. What I have not paid for, they will somehow have to finish themselves." He was not sent to pay only a partial debt. the one to whom we owe our greatest debt, a debt that would only be paid by the fires of hell. The one to whom we owe this debt, God the Father, told his dearest and only Son to pay it all. Your will be done, Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. It is finished, not in part, not partially, but fully, completely, wholly. But this needs to be made personal. It becomes and remains personal as you, a baptized child of God, continue in repentance and faith in Christ. And this faith in Christ means you will not find one sin that you have committed not fully and completely forgiven. Not one. They are all forgiven. The Apostle John wrote, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My little children, I am writing you these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He himself is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also of those of the whole world." Amen.